Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 129 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and I would like to say thanks again to all of you who have helped us win the national category of the European Podcast Awards. We really appreciate all your input and the attention our podcast has received as a result. We feel absolutely comfortable seeing that what we produce seems to have a wide audience of listeners. Now, in our first category of today's show, I took part in a roundtable discussion at Rhein A Campus, where a few students shared their emotions of scary and uncomfortable situations with me. We called this category absolutely scared.
All of a sudden I just couldn't breathe. It was just so unexpected, all these people and bodies, and I could hear every single breath. Because I was so unprepared for the overwhelming unfamiliarity, I had to take my scarf off, my jacket off.
In our second category, absolutely dangerous, I talked to Beatrice and she told me what made her feel very uncomfortable on her first visit to a North African country.
Probably have been more at risk of being robbed in London or Paris or New York. But somehow everything was strange and everything looked alien and dangerous somehow.
In our third category, absolutely prepared, I'll come back to our round table, where Vida tells us how a familiar voice can help you to get comfortable again after a scary situation.
I wrote a message with them, and also I talk with my parents with Skype. Then I feel really, really good when I hear my mom voice.
In our fourth and last category, absolutely comfortable, I speak with Paul, who doesn't leave his comfort zone in his job, but maybe in his private life.
I had to do something physical to ground myself again and to get myself back in touch with reality. In fact, later on tonight, I'm going to another wrestling session.
But let us start with a show. Are you sitting comfortably? Well, then please relax and listen to a couple of voices that tell us about their experiences and emotions. So lean back, relax, and enjoy.
And suddenly I had that feeling that my shadow was overtaking me, and I was suddenly bathed in sweat, and I had that feeling that someone was just going to knock me over the head. I was trembling and I just felt that my life might be over.
Yeah, during my first presentation I was forced to go in front of all of the people and I forgot all my words.
I felt that that was an extremely dangerous situation. I could hardly breathe, but in my mind I kept searching for ways out immediately.
I started shaking and I had sweaty hands at this moment.
I got so nervous. I couldn't believe it. I could have cried at that moment, and I cursed myself for putting myself in that situation in the first place.
I started shaking and sweating, and I could actually hear my heart beating so fast and so loud.
I was shaking and already planning my own funeral.
I couldn't control my body from trembling.
I was so red and I feel so shame.
It was a real sudden alarm. I really shook with fear. I trembled because I realized that I immediately had to react to the situation. And I still shiver when I remember how I felt in that moment.
Just started to think, oh, what I should say, and
all of a sudden, I just could not breathe at all.
Oh my God, what is happening here? This sounds rather spooky, doesn't it? Trembling bodies? Sweaty hands? Blackouts? Panic attacks. But what are the reasons for these reactions? What made these people feel so uncomfortable? Today we are going to talk about comfort zones, and especially leaving your comfort zones. The comfort zone is a behavioral state within which a person operates in an anxiety-neutral condition, using a limited set of behaviors to deliver a steady level of performance, usually without a sense of risk. Okay, now that is the definition White gives us about the comfort zone. But what does this really mean? What is a comfort zone? A comfort zone is a place where you feel comfortable, where everything seems to be easy and under your control. But what happens if you leave this comfort zone because of a change in your life? or if you decide out of your own free will to leave your comfort zone. In our first category, absolutely scared, I had a meeting with people who have chosen to spend some time outside their comfort zones by going to a foreign country. Lucy from Australia, Gintare and Vaida from Lithuania, and Yasha from Turkmenistan decided to leave their comfort behind and experience something new. They left their home countries and entered a new world. I asked them which situations in their new lives were the scariest.
Hi, I'm Lucy from Australia. I think your most extreme reactions to getting out of your comfort zone come when they're most unexpected. A couple of months ago, I was in Cologne and I went onto the underground U-Bahn, and all of a sudden, so many people flooded onto the subway. All of a sudden, I just couldn't breathe. It was just so unexpected, all these people and bodies, and I could hear every single breath. Because I was so unprepared for the overwhelming unfamiliarity, I just didn't know how to deal. I had to take my scarf off, my jacket off.
Now, you're also in a different country. How do you deal with this problem of being in a different country and missing your comfort zone?
Hi, I am Gintare. I am from Lithuania. Comfortable zone for me is a zone where I can control everything. And here I can't control anything. It's so hard to speak in other language, especially when I should use always English and German.
Did you choose to leave your comfort zone?
Yeah, hello, my name is Yasha. I'm coming from Turkmenistan. Yes, I chose once to come in Germany deliberately to leave my country, to live here, to obtain a master's degree here. And of course, that was uncomfortable for me, not because of Germany, but because of the difference of the mentalities and the way of living, actually. Because here in Germany, you have to catch up with everything very quickly, and you have to do everything with a fast tempo.
Can you tell us what you are missing outside your comfort zone?
I am Vaida from Lithuania. And yes, I'm missing from here the usual things, what I do in my country. For example, meeting with friends who I know a long time and talking with them. Also, I miss that people can understand me, because I can't express my feelings in another language. And I think it's the most thing who I miss here.
I'm afraid Vaida is right. This is one of the biggest challenges when you're abroad, that you simply cannot express your feelings adequately the way you want to. And this can be psychologically painful, especially when you've made new friendships, but find it difficult to express your real feelings towards your new friends. This is often the moment when we feel a little homesick and displaced. If the feeling is strong, you may even feel out of place or unsafe in your new environments. This happened to Beatrice when she went to Egypt on a holiday for the first time, and all the new impressions, smells, the loudness of the street, and the different behaviors of people she met made her feel like a fish out of the water. And she was even a little scared. So in our second category, absolutely dangerous, I asked whether she could still remember leaving her comfort zone for the first time.
I think the first instance that comes to mind where I left my comfort zone, especially in an intercultural context, is years ago when I was on a holiday in Egypt and everything seemed very, very strange and uncomfortable. Well, we were on a Nile cruise, something that lots of tourists do in Egypt every year. And we were very comfortable in our group, and we had our tour guide, and we hardly got in touch with ordinary life in Egypt. And then one afternoon, we had the afternoon to ourselves, and we decided, the friends who we were with and ourselves, to actually go and explore everyday Egypt a little. And we went out into the street, and we didn't know where we were heading. When I think back now, it really makes me smile, because we would probably have been more at risk of being robbed in London or Paris or New York. But somehow everything was strange and everything looked alien and dangerous somehow.
Right. Have you ever been back? And is it the same thing every time?
We've been back many, many times, and the comfort zone has really expanded quite a lot. I don't know what would have to happen these days for me to get as uncomfortable as I was then in any Egyptian town, because I really like the Egyptian people and all of it. Nowadays, just is fun for me rather than what it was at the time, which is a risk.
Are you getting less out of your travels nowadays because you've lost that feeling, that strange feeling of being displaced?
I am, in a way. I mean, it's the comfort zone seems to be expanding all the time, and the more you know, the less you're able to leave your comfort zone. In a way, your comfort zone is in your mind rather than outside, I think. Which is a funny thing, because when you think of comfort zones, not in a cultural context, it is sometimes the physical that comes to mind. I had quite an interesting experience a couple of years ago. I was on a training seminar for managers, and we went to one of these outdoor training camps.
Where you have to survive out there in the bushes?
Exactly. Well, it wasn't quite a survival thing, but it felt hard enough for those of us with fears of height, for instance. We were sent up and down hills, and we had to climb up poles and jump down them and that sort of thing.
And was that supervised, or how did that work? Did you go with a group of people you work with?
Yes, it was a group of people, and it was supervised, and we got tasks that we had to fulfill, and some of it was competition, some of it was team binding, and it really, all of it meant, you know, leaving your comfort zone. We had to build canoes and get into the water in them, and that's quite the opposite of the mental comfort zone that I talked about before. So this was really physically leaving your comfort zone. And you do actually, once you climb up a pole which is 10 meters high and you stand on it,
How does that even work? I don't understand. So there is a pole, a wooden pole?
There's a wooden pole, and there are, what are they called, hinges on mm-hmm. them, so that you can climb up. And of course, you're securely fastened in all sorts mm-hmm. of things.
So with ropes and everything?
Theoretically, mm-hmm. you know that nothing can happen.
Okay.
But in practice, you still don't want to fall down.
And then you have to climb up that pole, and then what?
Well, you have to climb on top of it, which is pretty difficult because you don't have anything to hold on to. So first you have to kneel on the pole, and then you have to get up. And then you have to jump down. Well, when I say you have to, you don't really have to. That's part of the exercise, to be able to say, I don't want to go on now, or okay. I can't go on now, and climb back down again. But there were, I don't know, maybe three or four of us who actually did the whole thing, the whole exercise.
Oh dear, as I have fear of heights, this climbing up a wooden tree trunk and actually standing on top of it would really take me out of my comfort zone completely. I once went to a meeting where similar team-building exercises were done, and I still distinctly remember how uncomfortable I felt when 20 of us were asked to lie down in a big pile of human beings in a square with people below you, but also people on top of you. And I couldn't even say which was worse, lying on top of this girl from Tunisia with a headscarf, or being squashed by that French guy whose belly was right on my head. Needless to say that this was in 30 degrees centigrade and we were all sweating. I felt so uncomfortable I could have screamed, and it was only because of peer pressure that I did not take myself out of the exercise, because I didn't want to feel like an outsider. Perhaps we should not get used to such situations, but rather listen to our inner voices and our instincts, which tell us to beware of such situations rather than continuously stretching our comfort zones. In our next category, Absolutely Prepared, I will return to our round table, where the foreign students tell me how they try to introduce familiar objects from their home countries into their unfamiliar surroundings in order to be a little more comfortable, even outside their comfort zones. But first, I ask the participants to tell me what situations in their host country made them most uncomfortable.
Last week, when I was shopping in Bonn, it was after my language course, so it was towards the end of the shopping day. And I was actually asked to leave the shop, even though I hadn't fully decided whether I wanted to make the purchase or not. Where in Australia, We would never kick the customers out. Mm-hmm. We always gave them 10, 15 minutes to make that decision.
Anybody else who made some experiences where you felt uncomfortable?
Yeah, I did one project with one girl. And when we have meeting, we decide that next time when we meet, we can have some solution what we can do. So for next time, I prepare generals what we can to say what we can do. And she was prepared totally and so good. And I feel so uncomfortable that I was prepared. So just general things what we can do.
Did you realize that by going abroad you would step outside your comfort zone, or did that come as a surprise to you?
Every time I thought about my decision to go halfway around the world, I actually got a headache because I thought about it too much. But once you just accept that this is going to happen, you just need to have the advice, have an open mind, and be aware that these things are going to happen to you and take them as they come.
The fact that you expected this a little bit, did that frighten you, or did you think, this is why I'm going?
Well, in my life, I live by the rule, just wing it, just take everything as it comes. So I knew that I can handle anything that comes my way. So just go with your first instinct, react how you want to react, and trust.
When you are outside your comfort zone during your experience abroad, are there any ways of getting comfort? Did you bring anything from home, for example, that you'd like to have close to you when you are outside your comfort zone?
I put my photos on my wall, and every single day I can see my parents, my friends, my dog, and then I feel much better. I like it.
I get in touch with my family and my friends with Facebook. I wrote a message with them, and also I talk with my parents with Skype. Then I feel really, really good when I hear my mom voice.
I think one of the biggest comforts is actually food. And I know that I find that comfort with Vegemite. I make the special trip to Cologne each time just because I know this is the comfort of my home country.
Yes, bringing some food from home or some pictures of your family and friends that you can put on your wall sounds like a good idea. Also, using the new media could help you re-enter your comfort zone. If you want to see your friends and your family, just switch on that computer and talk with them through Skype or share your events, pictures, and videos via Facebook. When I was putting together this podcast, it seemed that nowadays it is a universal truth that we need to leave our comfort zones at all times. But can that really be right? I went out of my way to find someone who says that there are professions where everybody would want you to stay within their comfort zone. How ironic. I actually had to find an artist out of all who would speak in favor of comfort zones. So in our fourth and last category, absolutely comfortable, I finally spoke to Paul McAlinden, a classical musician who is active in organizing international orchestra performances. I asked him where he leaves his comfort zone during his artistic work and also in his private life. To my surprise, he explained that in classical music, most stakeholders prefer not to leave their comfort zones.
I'm a conductor and a musician. I also deal with some aspects of management training. And I live in Cologne in Germany, although I'm a Scot, basically. Leaving my comfort zone, I think the issue of comfort zone with my industry as a classical musician is a very, very powerful one, because we basically recycle the same repertoire over and over and over again in concert halls.
Okay.
And this is cherished by our managements, by the musicians, and by the audience who pay to go to hear these concerts. It's like a heritage management, if you like, of musical heritage, particularly here in Germany. We're talking about perpetuating the performances of Mahler, of Beethoven, of Schumann, Haydn, Mozart, because this is where this came from, and this is part of the culture. And the reason these pieces exist is because history has filtered out the rubbish. They are truly great pieces of art. But the trouble is, if you play them so much, then essentially, and this happens all the time, and it's happening more and more, people just get bored. And they ask themselves, why are we going to a concert? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't even ask that. They just turn up and fall asleep.
Okay. So maybe they've heard the same piece so many times before as well.
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the reasons why they're there, because that's within their comfort zone.
Oh, okay. So they want to stay within their comfort zone.
Yes, and a lot of people in the orchestral business want to provide for that market for people who want to stay in their comfort zone in concerts. That's why contemporary music, that which has been written by composers in the last 50 years, say, has always been deeply unpopular. I mean, there are good reasons for that. Some of it's absolute rubbish. But even the stuff that's very good is offensive to the ears of those who are comfortable with Beethoven and Mahler and so on.
So why does the artist then want to get out of their comfort zone? Because that seems to be an exercise that artists are often involved in.
If you're talking about classical musicians, I would say that very many want to stay in their comfort zone. Those that don't, and I would say classical music is the most conservative of all the art forms, those that don't tend to be the composers who write radical pieces of music because, for example, they feel the world differently than Beethoven felt his world 200 years ago, that Mahler felt his world 100 years ago, and they want to express that feeling in a language which has nothing to do with those older times. If you're talking about classical musicians, particularly freelancers like myself, why do we end up jumping on planes and going halfway around the world to the middle of nowhere, particularly to developing world countries like Brazil or China or India or the Middle East? Why do we do that? It's probably because we need the money and somebody's offered us a contract. So it's the apparent adventurousness of classical musicians is often driven by purely financial motivation.
In your private life, do you sometimes choose to leave your comfort zone? Do you try to do things which you wouldn't do?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of at the same time as I started working on the Iraqi project, I started a hobby that I've always wanted to start, which is wrestling. And I'd always envied and wanted to try this. And I finally joined a sports club and started learning how to wrestle, as in Olympic freestyle. And I did this specifically because at that time my head was so stuck in cyberspace, I was going nuts with all the emails that I was dealing with and all the conceptualizing that I was doing. I had to do something physical to ground myself again and to get myself back in touch with reality. In fact, later on tonight I'm going to another wrestling session.
Gosh, a classical musician who goes wrestling in the evening. I have a feeling we should invite Paul again on this show because I know that he is planning a very intercultural event for this summer. He will bring together Kurdish and Arabic-speaking Iraqis in their home country for workshops and for rehearsals, and then brings them over for a musical performance in a festival in Germany. I'm sure there are plenty of opportunities for everybody involved to leave their comfort zones, and you can find out more on our page at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. You can also leave a comment on his project or on your views of comfort zones. And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show and want to share your experiences with leaving your comfort zones or staying within your comfort zones on our website. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 5th of March. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.